Welcome to CX Leadership Talks, where we dive deep into the world of customer experience management and leadership. And in today's episode, we have a very special guest, Martijn van den Berg, who will be sharing his insights into creating meaningful experiences for customers in the financial industry. And more important, how he put CX truly in the center of the strategy of his company in just 2.5 years. Martijn leads the CX team at PGB, a leading pension fund in the Netherlands, and has grown a wealth of experience in integrating customer experience into business strategies. Join me as Martijn discusses the transformation of PGB into a customer-centric organization, how he, consistently in CX management, finds more important than making it sexy. Yeah. What his 3 E's in CX leadership are, and this is so valuable for you, how he gets the importance of internal cultural change in driving customer centricity. Get ready for an engaging and insightful conversation with Martijn van den Berg as we explore strategies, principles behind building a customer-centric culture and true CX impact in the financial sector.
In the age of the customer, many companies and organizations fall short in meeting the needs and wants of their customers, let alone exceeding them. And it's time to change that. Welcome to CX Leadership Talks. Our passion is to be a catalyst for you and your organization as a customer experience leader to help understand, design, and improve experiences across the entire customer journey and the customer lifetime. It's time to spice up your CX leadership, and we've got the pro who's going to talk you through it. This is CX Leadership Talks, and now your host, Nynke Bloom.
So welcome to CX Leadership Talks, Martijn van den Berg.
Yes, hello.
Hello, hello. So good to see you. And it's always interesting. In our field of work, I always start with the same question. If you have to introduce yourself to the room, whether you're somewhere new or maybe at a birthday party from a relative, how do you introduce yourself?
Yes, well, it depends on the room, of course. In a more business field, I would say I want to create meaningful experiences that have a positive impact on our customers' financial future. On the birthday party, I'd just say I want to make pension attractive again.
Ooh, I think you have a conversation right away because not everybody finds pension attractive. And I think it's so important for all our listeners. And I think that's a valuable lesson we're hopefully going to listen and learn today, is how can you make these products that people are not aware of more important for them, but also create better customer experience on the inside. Let's continue the conversation, because when you came out of school, the thing was not, I'm going to probably be responsible for CX at PGB. So can you share a little bit about how your career went towards your now?
Yes, of course. Yes. The school you mentioned was a study business communication. I got my master and I worked first in the field of the pharmaceutical industry, afterwards on all in marketing communication field functions. Went to staffing industry, to technical wholesaler international, Sonepar. Very interesting company. It was my first management role. I led a Markrom team. Then I made the switch to the pension fund, Pensioenfonds PGB, where I work now for 8 years. Also starting in a communication manager role. Since a year or two, customer experience came up as a topic within the communication company, but it's a little bit less than 1 year ago, I really started my own CX team. Very proud of that.
Yeah, and I think that's very interesting when you also look at the maturity of customer experience or when you look at marketing versus CX. I've been a little bit on the side, been involved in the journey, but how did, you also said, well, there was no CX and now there is CX. How did that journey go to be CX?
Well, I guess it started with you. It started 2 years ago. Well, yeah, when we took your masterclass with 12 colleagues. And the good thing was it were 12 colleagues throughout the organization. So yeah. Instantly I had 11 ambassadors in other departments already.
Yeah.
From there on, we created our own CX story within PGB.
And I also really remember, and I can share because I asked the people that were involved, is that first meeting when I've worked within pensions myself. So, and I find it a very interesting field, an interesting profession, especially CX in pension. And I remember that a former team manager that I worked with, Noreen Tulner, she asked if I could join and just have a conversation on, because you were building a new strategy on customer experience, and she just challenged us a little bit. And I really like that about the culture of PGB, where you really challenge each other. So I came in the office and there was still COVID, so we needed to be a little bit apart. Some people were online. And I remember that. And then proudly, the project manager or the program manager, he proudly presented his strategy. And I was just listening. And in the end, I don't think you were in that room at that day. So I just missed one thing. And everybody was looking at me. I said, if this is the strategy for towards customer centricity, I missed the customer. Everybody was looking at me and they were like, oh. And it's not to be shameful of, because I'm going to be honest, in a lot of strategies that I see about customer experience or customer centricity, before you know it, you're on the inside out. And from that, we talked about what can you do. And of course, you can do consulting. But I said, it would be a really great idea to do the masterclass. And what I loved about how you approached it, not creating just it with the team, but you said, we want the people that are involved in the strategy, but we also want that circle of people around it. So we have buy-in and involvement from other people already. And yeah, from that on, I think it's so smart because it grabbed. And what I remembered also for you as a leader, because many people know that we always ask for inspiration when we do our masterclass in company, that I ask everybody to already get a little bit into the field. And I hear many stories. So, because I give like 15 in company masterclasses every year, but I do remember your story. So that is, I think, remarkable, because it was the first time I heard it. And maybe you share it with the audience, because this is a very good one, everybody.
Yeah. It was a story about give them the pickle. It's an old story, correct? It's on YouTube. To the listeners, watch.
We'll put it in the show notes. Yeah,
I think it's a video of 25 minutes, but there's also a short version of 2-3 minutes. If you don't have the time, to the essence. And it's about a restaurant manager, Bob Farrell, if I'm correct. And he started his second restaurant. But one of our customers had a complaint because from one day to another, they charged him an extra 75 cents for a pickle. First pickle is with a hamburger is free, but he wanted an extra pickle. He always got an extra pickle, but then suddenly had to pay, and he was complaining about that. And it became a metaphor. It's not about the pickle, of course, but it's what you offer. There are two lessons thinking. It's making serve your customers your number one priority that we can learn from hospitality. So you have to know your customer if you want to take care of your customer.
Yeah.
And find out what your customer wants so you can give them the extra thing. And that's the pickle.
Yeah, I loved it. Great, give them the pickle. It's like a metaphor. And I also love it from a perspective of storytelling. So you did the masterclass. True. And then you have this, well, we called it like Quartiermakers. I don't know what it is in Quartiermakers. Doesn't sound really good. But these people that are enthusiasts. What steps did you take with the team from there to grow to the CX awareness where you're now? Because I think that journey is very interesting for our listeners. How do you go from nothing to where you're now in 2.5 years? I think that's amazing.
First year, we tried to do CX as a part of communication, as I told, and it was just, it was a success, but not that big already, because we had to do it on the side. With what we did, we showed some progress, we showed some results, we showed where we could make the difference. We convinced the board that we want to take another step. We should create our own customer experience team. 1 year ago, I got the chance to start that. And I was lucky that the 12 colleagues, were already ambassadors. So we started to really create the customer-centric culture. I think that's very important. Yeah. Start internally instead of, shout out loud to your customers, to the market. And we determined our brand identity. I think that's the point where we started. And with the brand identity and the brand promises, we develop them and we really have them to existing business goals throughout other departments. And that was, I think that was maybe a key to success.
Yeah, what I think is very interesting is when I first came to PGB, to the pension fund, you're based in Amstelveen. Maybe for the people for PGB, should we introduce a little bit what PGB is? Because otherwise people might be like, what's PGB actually?
Yeah, of course. PGB is a pensioenfonds. PGB is a top 10 Dutch pension fund. We serve a lot of different customers. Employers have a pension scheme with us. So employers are a very important group of customers. And the employees, which work for the employers, they are our customers as well. We call them participants. But well, for the listeners, let's talk about customers.
Can you share like numbers? Like how many participants do you have?
450,000 participants.
Yeah. It's a good to know the scope.
Yeah, in different working fields, we divide employees who are working today, but also customers who are already retired.
Yeah. So you have like the people that still contribute and build up. Yeah.
Exactly, and who are already retired. We exist over 70 years. So we have quite a big history. And in those 70 years, we got really great in the process of administering pensions in asset management. Cool. But we are great in processes. And now we have...
The internal side is very well. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Now we are making the shift to a customer-centric organization. So that's new. That's difficult, but we're really getting towards that.
Yeah, because when I came in, that's how we entered this part of the conversation. When I first met you and colleagues, what I found is that your culture is very strong. So there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of internal communication. You already were very agile. You have like weak starts. Everything is people give feedback to each other. There's a lot of communication training. So, and this is very different from other organizations. But what I really liked is that you picked that strength also when you look at how to implement the strategy. Because the book that I've read, CX Travel Guide, is behind me, but we identified like three routes that you can pick. You can have like the thinkers, the doers, and the sharers. The thinkers, I always say those are the ones that blue organizations where you need to get feedback and improve, do like friction hunting. The doers, we go journey mapping. We have to do, we have to write, get into actions. And the sharers, it's much more based on culture, on the organization and culture pillar, where you really align to organize and to really build it through employees. And what I find very interesting is that I see it more and more, but this strategy really works. And it particularly really works within your organization because it's part of your success.
Yeah, I think so. We have all three, but the first one, the thinkers were the biggest part. Hey, we are a financial service, so that's good.
Yeah.
But with a couple of doers and with growing number of sharers, I think we can make the culture shift. Well, it turns out pretty well so far.
Yeah, and what I really like is that understanding your own strength, but also to see where you can build your own results. Is that the way that you invested in it? Of course, it was a masterclass, and then we did an education, like a one day for a select group of people, but including the whole board, which was very, very smart because that way they found out that there was a lot to learn because we asked the question, when is a customer experience a good one at PGB? And then everybody's like, okay. And then we let them work or wrestle or I don't know how we call it, but people were really like, how difficult is it to determine like four promises? They found it very challenging. And everybody was enthusiastic to work. So that share a strategy, that is very interesting. And for the people listening, I think it is very important in what phase of maturity are you and what elements do you choose now? And I think you chose wisely. Or maybe it was luck, but also it was a good choice in hindsight.
Well, I believe in a successful CX blueprint. And so I think we started by the book. Maybe it's not that sexy, but we started to develop a strategy based on the six pillars of the CXPA and to create a coherent whole instead of separate elements. That's really important, I think, to be consistent. That's one of my key beliefs. Consistency, you need to be consistent in every way of the customer journey. Yep. Otherwise, the customers walk away if you're not consistent. Yeah. And it's very important, especially as a financial service.
Consistency over sexiness. Hey, I don't know if that should be the title. But what I do like about the approach is that you have like a long-term vision and you see where you need to build up and where you... And it also resembles the culture of a pension fund, because of course people want to do sexy and smart and stuff, but in the end, in the long run, this really resonates with. But let's dive and go back to strategy, because can you share your vision on CX and the strategic elements you now put into place at PGB? Because now you have a team, you are running this team, so what is your strategic vision on CX?
Yeah, especially in, I think it's particularly crucial in the pension industry to have a good CX strategy. So, well, let me say this, the trust in financial institutions has decreased. People in the Netherlands feel they're rather on their own again.
Yeah.
Think, hey, who's looking after me? Because society individualizes and commercializes. And financial services has to deal with that. Pension funds has to deal with that. And it's our task and our duty as an entire sector to regain that trust. And I think this is where CX helps us and our strategy helps us, because we mustn't focus on technical products, technical product details or compliancy or the processes. And yeah, we were great in doing that, but now we have to focus on the customers and meet where we can meet their expectations. That's far more important. So transforming into a customer-centric organization, I think it's our goal to give our customers something to hold on, both financially as socially. Yeah. That's our brand promise. We call it voor elkaar. It's difficult to translate that in English.
In Dutch, like for each other, but voor elkaar, it has several meanings in the wording. So, yeah.
Yeah. We have to arrange it very good financially, but we also want to add the extra thing to be there for our customers, to really be there. That's the most important part of our strategy.
It's like it has the two elements. It's well arranged, so you can really rely on you. And you do it all together because, of course, it is a communal element, pension. So it's not something that individual, because it is from your employer. I really like that and that tagline. But then do you also have like customer promises behind it?
We have four. We want to have customers have to get access to their pension 24/7, wherever. But the most important is we want to, as I said, be there. We want to make pension, but that people understand pension. Again, it's not far from my bed, but hey, all right. I thought it was complex. I didn't want to look into it, actually. But now I do. Hey, I can understand this. I can make choices for the rest of my life when I retire. That's a good thing, but the most important is I feel that Pension Fonds PGB helps me with it. I feel not alone.
Yeah.
They are there to guide me, and that's the crucial part in our strategy, and that's emotion over ratio. That's putting figures into feelings. That's where the key is.
What I find interesting, let's first start, because defining the process of getting your brand identity with the tagline, with customer promises, with that whole getting numbers into feelings. You had to make that, but I also know within a pension fund, it's a complex world on the inside. You had to, I think, jump through many hoops before you got a yes.
Of course.
How long did that process take about, so people have an idea?
I think it took me a year.
Yeah, we're there, I think that's reality.
And we have ambassadors throughout different departments. That's really great. They have a leading role within their teams. But yes, I think it took me a year.
Yeah. So you defined them, and now your strategy to execute and to make sure that the participants on the outside world and the employers really experience it, you have several elements in place to make sure that it's been executed, right? So you're working, I know, on customer journeys, and you have this whole element into culture where you have ambassadors. You just shared a little bit about it. Can you tell me a little bit about the journeys? Because I find that, and let's get to culture later again. So I know you're working hard on journeys. Can you give some examples that you're working on?
Yeah. One of the first journeys we developed was for new employers. were new customers for us, and how we guided them throughout the first 100 days of their relation with us.
Onboarding.
They got a customer. They're on board, the onboarding of employers into a pension fund. There's a lot of technical information they have to share, but it's not, it's something they don't do every day. They do it maybe once in their lives. So it's new, it's complex.
Yep.
And they want to do it good because it's pension before they are employees. So we saw it was fair, it was a lot of incorrect information. It was sometimes a struggle for employers. And now we developed a calendar, 100 days. We informed them, well, on the first day, we do this for you. On day number 10, we need some information from you as an employer. On day number, well, et cetera, et cetera. People don't call us, email us, but what do we have to do now? Or so, because they know already in front the route to great onboarding into our pension fund. They rate us much better than they did before. To add up, we introduced a service call that we proactive call employers on top of the program we serve them to. Okay, I just call you. Is everything going according to plan? Can you need extra help? That's maybe just a pickle. I don't know. But
And what I really like, and everybody who's, if you're listening and you're working in the B2B, because a pension fund in the end is a B2B company, many people don't realize, but you both have like the employers that you're talking about their journey. And of course, the employees, where you both have a role that the employer, let's say if somebody comes working for them, but this time, and especially when you look at the market of pension funds, which is getting more business-like, and of course you have a growth strategy, so you want to have more employers in. I find it very smart. What I like is that you have designed the journey in your ideal state. So you have designed, this is the journey, you're steering yourself to success. And in that way, it's scalable. You don't have every time to think, oh, what should we do? What should we do? Did you do that by yourself?
With the customer in mind. Well, this journey, yes, we did. To put an example in, hey, what's possible if you put your customer in the end and in mind and work backwards from it. We're starting now with a complete customer journey management program to create customer journeys for our employees, so the participants. And we do that with Altuition. It's a Dutch company who helps us with that. And it's really interesting to see the effect also on the existing departments. So a lot of enthusiasm that they are really can share their feelings as well, because they work in processes nowadays. But when you ask them, and if you take them out of their comfort zone, maybe, out of their normal work, they know how to serve our customers the best. They are the professionals. They speak to them every day. Maybe they're forced into a certain way of work nowadays, that to challenge them and how what would be the best way, they can think of it. It's no rocket science. They know. Then we have to build the journey to that. And maybe the customer journey has to become our new product. That would be great.
That is an interesting thought.
Yeah.
I know that there's also, when you look at the journey is one, but you also do a lot of friction hunting. Like, where can we really improve? Do you have an example of that?
Yeah.
And maybe to help you even a little bit more, when you look at complaints and friction hunting, I know that in the Netherlands it's like a standard. It's the golden ear. And I think it's really interesting. You chose to participate in that service standard, and not everybody knows. So can you share what that brought you, why you chose? Well,
yes, golden ear. Yes, correct. Gouden oor in Dutch.
Gouden oor.
It's maybe easy. It's for a pension fund. It's like the Golden Globes award. Maybe it's about how to listen to customers. You taught me 2 years ago, listen to understand, not to answer. You have to really listen to your customers to know what drives them and to meet their needs and expectations. Golden Ear is a standard, is an objective audit. What audit team comes to you and rank you in several fields, how good you are organized as a company on this field. But it helped in two ways, because they, of course, they give us a certain score. Then also, okay, where can we improve to make get a better score next time? That's the first. But the second is more interesting, is that our colleagues, they are interviewed as well by the audit team. It comes alive. It's not just, okay, we can improve on this part, but it's also, hey, okay, so I can make a difference as a single employee, a single colleague, to get a better score, to better listen to customers. And that was a great, for me, unexpected, but a result as well. So it's two sides of the story. We got a result, we got a score, we can improve from there. But also we had a cultural boost from, okay, we have a direct impact on how to better listen to customers.
Because I know the first time you did it, there was a lot of room for improvement, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got a score. I don't know if you want to share.
Well, they changed the measurement, but now we have two stars out of five. It's not big, but it's good. We have a plan on an equal base in my team, CCXP, leads a multidisciplinary team, and she has six pillars that she's making progress to get to the third star next year, hopefully. But let me take out one of the points is how we react on complaints, because it's all about signals that customers give us. They call about something, they have a question within this conversation to give a signal as well. It's about signal management. How do you hear these signals, put them into a system, prioritize them, and help them to improve on those things, those signals? That's a big part. Complaints is one of them. We scored in a Dutch, the Dutch Pension Federation keeps tracks those complaints and how pension funds deal with them as well. Last year, we scored 67 points. We made improvements based on this golden year program we introduced. And this year, we scored 94 points.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Doing a little happy dance here.
Yeah.
What I love, and we don't need to know what, but what I love about this, and especially for people that are listening and that are like, how can I measure my success, which is often pretty difficult. This is a perfect way to join a program like this. How do you improve? Where do you go? And you can take like an external perspective like this, join an audit. I know, for example, in the contact center world, you have COPC. I know what you could do is join the International CX Award. Say, maybe this year you rank fifth, and then you join again next year, and you become second or something. So you see progress. I love that. And I think you should be proud, because I know this is a way within the pension funds that people really love to participate. And also you have something to give the board to shine with.
True. Yeah, that's your reason to exist, I guess.
Yeah. Let's dive a little bit into your leadership role, because we already got there and you have a team where you work with three people within the construct of like 300 employees, or how many are now at PGB?
About 400, 450.
Whoa, you grow. Let's say 450, there's three people that are doing customer experience and marketing and of course the complaint handling. When you look at customer-centric policies, I really think that's very smart. How do you make sure that they're effectively communicated and applied across your organization? How do you go about?
Yeah, we adapt to existing structure. That's what you said. And we have week starts, we have team boards, and we make sure that customer experience is on the team boards every day and is discussed in week starts every week. It's really a regular topic. It's not something new. It's not something that comes as an extra task. It's a main area of doing business. We have monthly meetings with all the staff. CX is a regular topic there. We have quarterly meetings with management. I always share the progress on the customer experience. And I like to do it in a special way with nice visuals, do a bit of storytelling. And that's really that's how it comes alive.
Because you're talking about storytelling. I like that. How do you use, because I use storytelling, but do you, have special visuals? Do you have a story that you can share with us that really also impacted you and the role that you have or something you used lately?
Lately, yes. I think that you know the Trudy story.
Oh, Trudy. Yeah, let's do Trudy.
Let's do Trudy. Trudy. And we used the Trudy story to create bigger awareness.
Figures to feelings, right?
Figures into feelings, exactly. Because Trudy is a retired lady and she went grocery shopping. And when she was at the cashier, she couldn't pay for her groceries. So it was, that's not nice. Of course, everyone can imagine you're there and your bank account fails. You can't pay. What happened? She put some groceries back that she didn't really need. And tried again. No, sorry. She put more things back. In the end, she just had a bit of bread, a bit of milk, and she left the supermarket with the almost empty bag, but with herself full of shame. You don't want to have, you don't want that something like this happen to anyone. What happened was, normally on this day of the month, her pension fund, luckily not ours, but hey, it could have been us as well, paid her salary, her pension. And it was always in the morning. So when she went in the morning to the supermarket, she thought, there was amount on my banking account, so I can do grocery shopping. I always do that on this morning, day of the month, because I know there's money on my account. But due to an administrative failure, something, her pension fund transferred her money in the afternoon, still on the same day. So they thought we are compliant, nothing helped, nothing's wrong, but it makes a huge difference for Trudy, who thought it would be there, the money, who thought she could go grocery shopping, but she couldn't. And there were over 100 calls in that pension fund, people complaining, more than 100 Trudys, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And there's the difference. There's the thinking, hey, we're doing our job. Nothing went wrong. We paid the pension. We paid our money. We are compliant.
Ching.
Oh no, oh my God, we have a big problem because people rely on us. Yep. We always pay this time. What can we do extra? What can we do now to help Trudy?
What I liked about the story is that you have the two perspective in it. So the inside out of processes to pay on this day, service level agreement with our employers, ching, we are good.
Yeah.
But the outside in perspective is that there were many clients that didn't get their money on time, that felt ashamed, and that have an outside in perspective of not being happy of that pension fund. And those little stories make people aware. And I think that's very smart to use those kinds of stories. Passing on, because time is also ticking.
Yeah.
When looking, I think one of the things you did is used the customer experience game, and you're one of the facilitators. What can you share a little bit about that? Why you chose for that, and what it brought PGB?
Yeah, of course. We developed the game together with you to create better CX awareness, first of all. It helped because people throughout the organization got in the room with each other, not working with each other on a regular basis, knowing each other, of course, but from different departments, and they learn a lot from each other. So it's really remarkable that what happens in the game. It's a fun element. People want to win as well, so there's a bit of competition.
Of course.
But of course, that's nice, but people learn from each other. Oh, are you doing this in that? Are you doing this in this way? That's not convenient. If I can do something different, it would make your life far more easier. Yes, it would. Oh my God, great. Well, let's do it at once. That's a result of the game that would have normally would not have happened because the people don't get in the room together playing and thinking with the customer in mind of how to improve their job.
I think it's what I've learned, not only on this conversation, but okay, I'm going to give my personal view, my business CX leadership view. What I really admire and find very smart is that within PGB, you chose certain steps in the journey to take. Thinking about what are cultural elements, but also what really works, what is the clockwork of our organization. So you made the strategy and really aligned with all the stakeholders. Didn't make it like speedy, but put like consistency in. Then you started building up journeys. First, you build a team, put the blueprint there, then started working first already a little bit yourself on journeys, then made sure you got the investment to work with a consultancy partner to really strategize it out. And in the meantime, you've just built up these little things to engage people, working with a game, helping them in their daily work. I think it's a very smart and eloquent way to build consistently and engage everybody and get the results in, like the golden year. My compliments on your progress, because I don't think I've seen many organizations in just 2.5 years to grow where you're at already.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nienke.
It is. And I think it's for everybody. Of course, your LinkedIn profile will be in the show notes, but we're getting to the end of the interview. And I always ask two questions. So first of all, what is a habit that you have developed that delivers results for you as a leader?
First of all, I always tell my people, no assumptions. We didn't discuss CX data.
Well, yeah, there's so much. Well, yeah. Thank you for putting that in. Yeah.
No, I introduced a feedback platform as well. So we measure metrics, very important, data-driven. So we think, oh, that would be great for our customers, but no. Let's know for sure. Let's ask them.
Okay, no assumptions.
Do research. No assumptions. And second, I think, not sure it's a habit, but to create this customer-centric or culture, I think it's very, very important. It's, not maybe.
Well, maybe that is a habit.
It's really good.
Maybe it's a habit or a thought is every time thinking, how can I engage my colleagues, my employees, my board, all these stakeholders. And I think that is a smart way. So no assumptions and how to engage all. Great habits, I think, that it's really works.
I really have a triple E model for it. Because you are.
Oh, come on. Let's go. Let's get your triple E.
It's engagement, it's endurance, and it's enthusiasm. That's the triple E to create our internal customer-centric culture. Engagement, you have to team up with the business to achieve success. You have to hold on. It's 2.5 years, but we started with nothing. You have to hold on in order to make it work. And enthusiasm, that's also something you told me. CX is fun. You have to make it fun for everyone.
Yep.
That way, if you radiate it, you contage other colleagues, make ambassadors. And I think that's the only way to create happy, positive customers in the end.
Yeah. 3E model, everybody's listening. I think it's really great because that really fits you. And it's also a smart way of approaching. Last question always. What is a book or a podcast or a video or something? And of course, we already talked about the pickle. But what is something that you really want to, give as an advice to the listener right now that you say, this is something that inspired me?
Yes. I think hospitality branch inspires me. International listeners read the Disney story. They're great. In the Netherlands, a theme park called De Efteling is the best customer-centric organization of last year. They
get it.
Their DNA get it. Of course, there are some interesting books. Outside, you mentioned it, the 10 principles behind great customer experience. Was really helpful for
me. It's a whole list, Martijn. It's a whole list.
About culture, about must, it's A Diamond in the Rough from Stephen van Bellegem.
Yeah.
That was in one of your podcasts before.
Yeah.
It helps you really step by step to introduce this customer-centric culture. So that's maybe the must read.
That is the must read of the here and now. It's hot off the press. It's now, I think, a couple of months old. Diamond in the Rough by Steven van Bellegem. Martijn, I want to thank you. What I always like is when we speak to each other, your third E, your enthusiasm, let people please reach out to you, connect with Martijn if you want to know more about his story. Thank you for your time in this conversation, but especially your valuable insight. Maybe it sounds weird. Consistency over sexiness. Yes, I fully agree. The three E's and a great element of storytelling. It's the first three things that come to mind about the conversation. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
You've been listening to CX Leadership Talks. Ninka is a customer experience speaker and educator. She has written books and spoken and educated leaders all around the world. She's one of the global thought leaders in the field. We hope you've enjoyed this show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can also find us on YouTube and LinkedIn and ninkabloom.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we'll see you next time on CX Leadership Talks.